Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Man, this fast has been phenomenal. Just prayer and fasting. You know what it does? For me, it just makes it intentional for me to be united with God. You know, you put your flesh under and you put God first. You know, and for me, prayer becomes a lot more, it's not as synthetic, it's not as manufactured, it's more organic, because if I'm not going to eat, plus I'm just juicing during these 3 weeks. So like Daniel Fast, like what I would give for a hunk of broccoli right now is just something to chew on. But so for me, if I'm going to fast, I'm gonna get my money's worth out of it praying. And it's just been a phenomenal time. And I'll just tell you, for me, I think our life as Christians, it's all about the moves that we make. Not necessarily the moves, and I think it can be geographic where we can change locations, but I think it's the moves of our life that I'm believing God, and I pray this a lot, and you guys have probably heard it a lot. I'm believing for a move of the Spirit in your life. How many of you guys are with me on that? Just a move of his Spirit in my life. Man, that's what I'm believing God for, and I'm believing God that for you, for Sandy, for our children, just a move of God. But see, the moves that we make, here's how this works for me. Here's how the progression is that God created everything, and he gave man, and then he made woman out of man, and that was his move, okay? The Garden of Eden was God's move. God said, okay, man, we're gonna do this thing, and it's gonna be perfect. And that was God's move, the Garden of Eden. And then Adam and Eve's move was the one thing they weren't supposed to do, they were deceived into doing, and they took fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and consumed it in their lives, and then had to hide from God. Well, so God made a move where he created the garden, and then Adam and Eve made a move, and they rebelled against God, and they sinned, okay? So then this time passes, and it's time for God to make another move. So God made a move where he moved upon Mary by his Spirit, and she had a son, and his name was Jesus. And about 30 years old, Jesus went on a revolutionary journey and changed the world, okay, in 3 short years. Think about a time, like the time frame of our life, when you think about 3 years in the life of Jesus. But the idea, now listen, so God's move was he gave his son. And then his son, a part of that move, had to give his life. So he's hanging on that cross, and he's got his arms spread, and he just finally said, it's finished. It's finished. Well, that was God's move, okay? He was put in that tomb was sealed, okay? You guys know 3 days later, the stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty, and Jesus was alive, okay? So here's the garden, it was God's move, here's sin was man's move, here's Jesus was God's move, and now we make Jesus the Lord of our lives. You guys ready for this? We make Jesus the Lord of our lives, and you know what? It's our move. See, that's what our life is now. Every minute, every breath that we take, man, this is our move. God wants to back our play. And man, I had just amazing revelation of this, where it just was like, oh my goodness, man, it's not just that I'm on the clock, it's that God's looking for me to make a move. And I know most of the church globally is just waiting for God to do something. Do you understand that God, that's deception of the enemy. What God is ever going to do, he's already done. That's why we have a healed service. And it sounds awkward because it's past tense. Because by his stripes you were healed. Man, it is. It's past perfect tense. See, that's how this works. So we understand that now it's our move. Let's make some bold moves. It's not just about making big moves. It's about making bold moves in life, I believe. And see, when you look at that, so in order to do that, in order for you to make a bold move, anybody that starts, the Bible says anybody starts a business, they got to first do their homework and their research. Any king wants to go to war, he's got to first count the costs, okay? There are costs that are involved with bold moves in our lives. Like, what's it going to cost? It may cost you some buddies. It may cost you some time. It may cost you some energy. It may cost you some focus. You may have to take your focus off of the things of the flesh and put your focus. Because see, here's something, and you probably ought to write this down. Somebody ought to social media this or something. But in the kingdom, there's not dual citizenship. And I think too many people think that they can have, yeah, I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. Not being of it means you give up your citizenship in the world. And now my citizenship is where? In heaven. See, so I don't have dual citizenship. I don't have citizenship here in the world and citizenship in heaven. Man, I've revoked my citizenship of the world, and my citizenship is heaven. See, that's why now I just render under Caesar, render the government what's theirs, and I'm putting my trust in God. What if taxes go up? They just may, but I'm putting my trust in God. Man, what if price of things? Yeah, it may, but all my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God set us up so that we can make a bold move. And that's what I want to do with my life. I want my life to be just one bold move after another. And I'm not talking about big moves, okay? I'm talking about bold moves. And you know what? That may be a synonym to help you understand a bold move for me is an audacious move, something that it's just audacious. Like, are you kidding? What? You know what that, not what, I don't care about what people are saying, but what my flesh is saying. What my flesh is going to say is, you're going to do what? Yeah, I'm going to juice fast for 3 weeks. So, what? I'm like, that's my flesh. And let me tell you something. I don't know about you guys, but I got a flesh that I can't just slap around. I can't try to restrain it. I've got to crucify it. I've got to crucify my flesh. I'm like, okay, let's get the hammer and nails out again. I'm hanging you up on that cross, and you're not going to have a say anymore. Why? Because Jesus already proclaimed it's finished. See, so, but what's your plan? Because it's 2015. Man, it's a whole new year. What's your plan? What's your plan for a victorious life? I'm not just talking about for this year. I'm talking about from here on out, where it goes from, you go from life to life, and man, it's a seamless transition from this earth to heaven when you pass on. Man, what's your plan? And you know, it's interesting because you'll say, well, how do I do it? You know, I don't know where to go. It sounds similar to Thomas. And Thomas, because Jesus said, look, here's what you, Jesus, he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way you're going. We don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And Jesus said something interesting in John 14:6. He said, okay, here, let me clear this up for you. And it's so simple. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to be really simple. Okay? Pay attention. It's going to be simple. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through me. I'm the way. So what do? We just follow him. Man, I don't need to know what's around the next corner. Let me just tell you, I get to an intersection, I follow Jesus. That's it. He's the way. He's the way. I live my life, I traverse this earth going Jesus' way. Okay? And so now I've got to take my eyes off the street signs, off the streets. And now what I have to do is I have to trust his word. I have to trust Jesus. And see, we look at this, and I'll tell you what's amazing about this plan. Because the plan that God has for us, it's a plan that brings us into purpose. And I'll just tell you, I've had it maybe up to here with church folk not knowing what God's purpose is in their lives. Man, if this were just a run in the mill, hopefully we're chipping away at that now. But it's between 80 and 90% of people that regularly attend church has no idea what God's purpose is in their life. But at some level, that's criminal for us just to let that happen. You know, this is all about purpose. Do you guys understand that? Life is all about purpose. You should write that down. Life isn't about all that stuff, right? Life isn't about advancement. It's about purpose. And see, and you'll say, well, where does that fit in on? I'll tell you what, the property of this church, man, has a high priority. Man, the buildings, you know, people come and say, man, it's not about the buildings. Really? If we didn't have the buildings today, we'd be outside today. What is it like? It's been like single digit. The wind's blowing. Oh my goodness. No, but you know what? So there's a priority. It's fourth. And it leads me to the third priority, which is the programs. We got a growth track tonight, 201. We got the second mile tonight. Man, we've got all kinds of things, man. Tomorrow night is our Tuesday night is the Guts Girls night. Man, it's their rush night. Man, why do we do that? Why are the programs so important? Because we make a priority of them. They just happen to be the third priority. The second priority, a lot of you guys will say, well, this is, man, it's not about all this stuff. It's about the people. You're doggone right it is. Man, the second priority of this church is the people in it. See, so you got the property that house the programs that equip the people. But let me tell you, that's not the be-all, end-all. The number one priority of this church is God's purpose. Man, that we proclaim the gospel to the four corners of the earth, and then the Son of Man returns. See, that's the purpose of this church. The purpose of this church, listen, the purpose of my life, I can tell you, is to win people to the Lord. It's to disciple them. Hence, we have the programs that we have in this church. Because if you're just here and you just got saved, you're just attending church, man, when are you growing and getting built up? You might listen to an occasional podcast. You might read an article or a blog or a book. But I'm telling you, nothing, okay? Nothing. Nothing is more valuable, important to you than this. Nothing. This is designed to be mouth to ear. This is designed to be person to person. The who knows, a couple generations of the church, they didn't have Bibles. They just sat down with people and said, yeah, I walk with Jesus. I was with him. Man, I was in that boat when he walked on that water. I watched Peter get out of that boat. I saw Peter take a step on that water. It was the most incredible 3 seconds of my life. But then you know what? He got distracted and saw the waves. Man, Jesus reached out and saved him and put him in the... Man, the seas were so angry that day. Man, it was so amazing. See, that's the kind of conversations we have. Man, you think when I start talking like that, man, there's a still that comes into the room and the presence of God has a place now. All the noise is kind of separated. So it's the property that houses the programs that equips the people. Listen, man, the people that we need to help them, man, win them to the Lord and disciple them and train them up. Emerging leaders, man. Man, the strength of a church, the true backbone of a church is its leadership. Everything rises and falls in leadership. I'm watching these young guys up here singing and playing, and let me tell you what you were doing. What you were doing is God was using you as his hands there on the potter's wheel being formed and fashioned as worship leaders right before our eyes. That's what I was watching. It was incredible. Man, what you guys did for the people on this stage, man, just helping them become the leaders that God's called them to be. And the fourth one is just planting churches. How many churches are in this room right now? How many people here that, man, God's given gifts unto men, first apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so we all come to the unity of the faith. Man, it's about us equipping and edifying one another. Man, the purpose of your life, the plan that God has for you, the plan, it starts, it stops, everything is about Jesus. I'm just telling you, man, it's not just the kickoff, it's the entire shooting match. It's all Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. But now we look at this and we understand that here's Paul and Paul's letters. It's 2/3 of the New Testament. And we go to the last verse of the last communication that Paul had with the church at Corinth, which, man, let me just tell you, man, two of the letters that he wrote to the church at Corinth made the manuscript of the Bible. So this is important. The last thing he says to him is this. It's 2 Corinthians 13:14. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God as a father. See, it's not just God where it's like this omnipotent one. It's this daddy kind of love. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father. Now listen, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now it's interesting because we've all got a different background and maybe a different working definition of communion. Well, that word communion in the original text was translated communion there in that verse is actually koinonia. And a lot of you guys have heard about the word koinonia. It's the gathering together. It's fellowship. Man, it's friendship. It's fun. It's communication. Well, go turn in your Bible to Luke, the fifth chapter, and just the first few verses, what happens is, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake, okay? Now, he's standing by the lake, and it says that the press of the people was so great that he's standing there by the lake, and there's so many people, and they're pressing, and he had nowhere to go. So he turned to a fisherman, and he said, do you mind if I use your can I step into your boat so that I've got a little room to be able to speak here? So he steps into this boat, and he begins to preach and teach again and finishes his message. And he turns and he sees these guys that have cleaned and are storing their nets. And he turns, and it's such an odd statement. But he said, hey, take your nets and cast them into the deep. Now, here's Peter that was the head of the deal. He said, hey, we've fished all night. We've been at this a long, long time, preacher. We've fished all night and caught nothing. But at your word, we'll do it. Man, he saw the demonstration, Jesus teaching, all these people. He probably liked a little bit of the notoriety that came with it. Jesus stepped into his boat. So he said, so at your word, we'll do it. They take their net. They'd caught nothing all night, right? They take their net and they throw it into the deep. The amount of fish that were netted were so great, they couldn't hoist it into the boat. It began to tip the boat, and the boat began to sink. And listen, and the nets began to split. So Peter turned, the Bible says, to his partners. So evidently, this was a significant fishing enterprise. He turned to his partners to get help. Well, they began to gather, and the catch was just incredible. But listen, that word partners in Luke, the fifth chapter, comes from the Greek word koinonia. So now we go back to 2 Corinthians 13:14, the very last verse of the communication Paul had with the church at Corinth, and we read it this way. Listen, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father kind of love, and listen, and the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Now listen, this is amazing. You look at this, just this simple little list that I gathered of things that Jesus on this earth, when Jesus, and remember Jesus said this, they were just amazed by what he said. But he said, whoa, 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 whoa. The only thing you hear me say is what I hear my Father say. How did he hear it? He didn't have a phone. He wasn't texting God. God texted back. No, it was the Holy Spirit. See, that's what led Jesus. So you listen to this. Jesus, listen to this list. Jesus was conceived. You should get your phones out and take a picture of this list. Okay, there's going to be a couple screens. Just take your phone out and take a picture because I'm going to flip it on you here in a second, okay? Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, okay? He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He healed people by the power of the Holy Spirit. He cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's now seated at the right hand of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, as he is on the earth, so are we. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Now I go back through that list and I start at the top and I look at it and I think, wait a second, I was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Just like he was. I'm born again. Not of blood and water, but by the Spirit. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Shear was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh. I'm empowered. Acts 1:8 says, and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I was conceived of the Holy Spirit. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh. Do you see how this is going? Now we think about our plans. We think about God's purpose in my life just shifted. How can I not make bold moves? Man, the Holy Spirit's in me. It's so much so that what Paul said was, it's not I who speak, but Christ who speaks in me. Man, the what's in me is the hope of glory is in me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's there. It's not because I'm a good guy. It's not because I've got talents and abilities. I'm telling you that this doesn't require that. Man, it's simple. Man, here's what our lives are. as believers. Here's a bold move for us as believers. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And listen, and grab some, and yeah, it's like, whoa. Man, in this day and age, it's 2015, there might be a lawsuit attached to that. But no, you know what? We were saved to make bold moves. You hear me? This might not be trendy. This might not be the current way the gospel is being, where it's like, let's just sit back. We're not going to expect anything. No, you know what? Man, it's our move. Man, the last thing I want to do is live and die and not make a move. And I'll tell you what it's like, and I'm going to close with this. The move that I'm talking about, here's how I picture it in my heart, okay? And I'll just try to convey a word picture from my heart. That where you are right now is God has given you, that his word is the rock, right? But he's given you these rocks that we can throw. And not at people, but there's a sea in front of us. There's a pond in front of us, or a lake in front of us, a body of water in front of us, okay? You could pick up a rock, and it's going to make a splash, right? And it's fun to do, and it makes a splash. And then that splash causes that water to well up, and it makes a little wave, and it swells. And then it splashes. It makes a splash. And then there's ripples. And those ripples carry out to the end of the water. And if it's a little rock, it's little ripples. You can pick up a golf ball-sized rock and you can throw that thing out into the water, and it's going to make a splash. And it's probably going to be fun, and it's not going to require much energy. It's not going to require any other people. And you can pick up a softball-sized. You can pick up a volleyball or basketball-sized rock, and you can throw it into the water. It's going to splash. But I could pick up a rock that maybe, what kind of rock if I had Josh and Bob and Chris, what if I had Ben, that I say, okay, let's see if we can get this rock. Let's grab this rock. And we take that rock and we throw it into the water. What kind of splash does it make? How does it disperse that water? That wave comes up and it splashes. That's the moves that God's put in my heart, that we're making moves like that. Man, just think if we all got together, if we all did our share, and we all decided I'm gonna be a part of making that move. And you see the kind of splash. But listen, I believe it's a series of moves, because even no matter how big a rock you throw in the water, it might make a big splash and it might have big ripples. And those big ripples turn into medium and then small and then minuscule and then calm again. And I'm just thinking, what part of the waters around my life are comfortable? This fast is uncomfortable. It's inconvenient for me. It really is. But what parts of my life are comfortable? Because what Jesus said, and I'm going to say this in closing, I didn't come to make you comfortable. I came to give you a sword. Man, this is one of those times where it's like, you know something, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get before God. I'm going to hear his voice, another voice I'm not going to follow. The fiery darts of the evil one have to hit the shield of faith. And now we look at our lives and we realize there are big moves in front of us. And that's what I want you to see. I just want you to be still right now. I just want you to get before God. I just want you to open your heart. And you may want to even turn your palms up in front of you and just take a reverent stance and just say, God, speak to me. God, here I am. Use me. God, use me for the big moves that you have to win the world to Jesus. It's not about fame. It's not about notoriety. It's not about stuff. It's about purpose. Win the world to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.